following is a presentation of Inspire Church of Skagit Valley.
What do you guys think of when you think of America? Turn to the person next to you and say, my first thought when I think of America is... Go ahead, what is it? My first thought. Freedom is the land of the free and the brave. It's the beauty of America, the privileges of America. It's the prosperity. But we can all agree on one thing, I believe. America, we are blessed. We are blessed. There's been a phrase surface recently, first world problems, to describe the little issues that face us that are so incredibly petty in the light of the major issues of this world. First world problem, untangling headphones. First world problem, no cell phone reception. What did we ever do before cell phones? Or the famous phrase, oh no, the internet is down. First world problem. Or, what do you mean the restaurant doesn't have Wi-Fi? I love the story about the lady who walked into Starbucks and walked up to the lady, the salesperson, barista behind, and said, excuse me, I'd like one of the free whiffies. And the lady said, I'm sorry, we don't, what are you talking? No, one of the free whiffies. And I'm sorry, I never heard of anything that. She goes, well, that's what you say in the door, free whiffies. Anyhow, okay. Or here's one. The young people will understand this one a little bit more. If my ripped jeans rip anymore, I'll have to buy some more ripped jeans. The pizza box doesn't fit in the fridge. I have more clothes than hangers. Ah, so comfortable, but the remote's on the other side of the room. Oh, I filled my bowl with cereal before I realized there was no milk. Yes, and this one happened to me yesterday. What do you mean I've got to go inside to pay for my gas? First world problem. And then just this past week, I broke down. I had to find out what a spinning widget was. Only in America can you make a billion bazillion dollars on something that dumb. Whole time we were waiting in a restaurant the other day, I was practicing, and I still can't do it. Here, Ty, you can play with it during the service when you get bored. Okay. All right. I mean, when you think of first world problems, look at me with some of the things going on in other parts of the world. Let's get serious here for a moment. Other parts of the world, get ready. I'm going to share with you seven of the worst places to live in the world and what's happening in those. First of all, I found a statistic this week that said if you're making $34,000 a year, you fall into the category of the wealthiest 1% of the earth. In many parts of the world, the average person lives on $1.90 per day. Wow, think of that. I mean, it's just pretty mind-boggling. Let's look at these seven countries quickly. Number one is, and you'll see the map on the screen, and I'm going to test your geography. You find them for me, okay? Number one, North Korea. North Korea is the most isolated and secretive, oppressive country in the world. It's a place where you can be tortured in a prison camp for watching a DVD in your home. There's a picture of the prime minister demanded in every home. Over 34,000 pictures of Kim Sung are in homes in that nation. No one is allowed to speak to anyone outside of the country. Defectors from the country, if they are found, they are executed and sent to prison if you're defecting from the nation. Number two, there's a lot more stats, but I'm just covering the high points. In Nigeria, number two, there's one of the largest humanitarian crises is where this guy by the name of Boko Haram has killed over 20,000 people. The United Nations predict that over 80,000 children may starve to death in the next year in Nigeria. About 2.5 million people have been displaced by the violence. In the nation of Syria, the numbers are absolutely also staggering. 250,000 people have been killed in a civil war in Syria. 11.6 million have been forced to flee their homes. Recent bombings have made it nearly impossible for all aid groups to bring food, shelter, and Medicare to those who are in need. In the nation of Yemen, probably the worst than Nigeria, humanitarian crisis on the planet, but few people know about it because the journalists cannot go into anyone, any company, business cannot go in, but, and they force the starving people to stay in the nation. The government demands everyone stay out so the starving continues. Over 3 million people have been displaced. Recent reports show that up to 14 million people in Yemen are in danger of starvation this year. Did you hear me? 14 million. Afghanistan, we hear a lot about. As soon as the Western soldiers left, the Taliban warriors moved in. And today, casualties every year are greater than the numbers that they experienced in 2001 as a result of 9/11. In many parts of the country, medical care is non-existent. Basic services are disrupted, and the Afghans are fleeing to find safety in Europe. Afghans are now the second largest group of refugees seeking safety in Europe. Central African Republic. This country of 4.9 million people have been in crisis since 2013 when a Muslim group known as the Salikas toppled the government. More than 500,000 people have been displaced by the violence that takes place in this nation. They use as a weapon, as opposed to guns or rifles or knives, they use as a weapon the weapon of rape against the women because they are on the wrong side to punish them. The last nation is the nation of Venezuela. This is a nation that could be wealthy because of their incredible surplus of oil, but they now stand in line. The people there have to stand in line to buy rice, bread, and they pay with currency that is not even worth the money that it is printed on. This once prosperous nation, Venezuela, they now face the threat of widespread starvation. They have the worst inflation rate in the world and the highest murder rate in the world. Seven of the worst places to live in the world. I share these with you here this morning, not to bring about any type of gloom, despair, or woe, or any guilt or anger, but instead an incredible appreciation for where you and I live. When we were born in America, we won the birth lottery. Okay, are you following me? What a great place this is, and we should be grateful. We are incredibly blessed people, aren't we? Turn to the person next to you and say, we are so blessed. We rank near the top of all the global charts when it comes to safety, natural resources, wealth, access to education, life expectancy, job opportunity, personal freedoms, and the right to pursue our dreams. So much to be thankful for. Overall, in the recent studies, in the world, the United States is ranked 7th. It's ranked behind Switzerland is number 1. By the way, I talked to a missionary friend of mine in Austria this week, and he said to buy a combo meal in Switzerland, it costs you $20. Okay? I'm not sure that you want to go to Burger King anyhow, but just in case you did. Okay? So, the best countries or nations to live in: Switzerland, Germany, Sweden, Japan, Canada, and the United Kingdom. We rank up there as the best places in the world to live. And I think one of the reasons why we are one of the best is this next thought, and this is where we're going for the next couple minutes. America is blessed, a blessed nation, due to the biblical foundation on which it was built. Follow this with me this morning. As I studied and looked at it this week, I began to realize we are incredible. Look at Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We are a blessed nation experiencing tremendous freedoms. Why? Because we have made God the Lord. Yeah, I know that thing is being threatened, and I know there are things that are being challenged out there in regards to the God is the Lord. I know, I know that's out there. But look at the foundation. I found a bunch of quotes here. I want to throw them out to you. Okay, George Washington, our first president, said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of the Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor." That's what our nation was built upon. Thomas Jefferson, also president and signer of the Declaration of Independence, "The Christian religion is the best religion that has ever been given to man." John Adams, again, also president and signer of the Declaration, said, "I've examined all religions, and the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world." That's what our nation was founded upon. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's how, can somebody say amen right there? Think about that. That's how we were formed. That's how we were started. We started. Samuel Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, I rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon for all my sins. What a statement. Get this. The United States Congress in 1782 issued this decree. The Congress of the United States recommends and approves the Holy Bible for use in all schools. Somebody smile now or say, oh my word. You okay? Patrick Henry, we know him. One of my land, two of my sea. Says, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not, I love this, not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. John Jay, who was the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, said this, Providence has given to our people the choice of the rulers, and it is their duty, as well as privilege and interest, of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Anybody say amen to that one? So see, America is a blessed nation due to the biblical foundation on which it was built. Again, Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. As we move forward here, the result of this foundation, here's where we're going. The result of this foundation is the blessing of God. And listen, and a major blessing that we have experienced here in this nation that is not seen in other places around the world is this crazy word we've already said, we've already talked about to a certain degree this morning, and that's that word, freedom. We see this in the current world situations, and we certainly see it clearly in the Old Testament. Think about it with me. Turn your pages back in your Bible right now to the Old Testament and think. Whenever there was a king who did what was right in the sight of the Lord, how did Israel respond? They prospered. There was great freedom, and there was great blessing in that land. Why? Because the king was building his whole nation around the principle of God. All of a sudden, whenever that changed and a new king came to rule, and he did what? He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. What happened to the Israelites? They were in bondage. They were in slavery. They were tortured. They were destroyed. Why? Because the nation did not follow after God. So therefore, there was what? No freedom in that country. Again, follow the verse. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Secondly, notice with me again, there is the people whose God is the Lord has this incredible thing called freedom. As we think about it, it is so incredibly true. It's keeping with our holiday, we're blessed with freedom. Look at John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus said this, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Listen, so if the son sets you free, say this next part with me, you will be free indeed. There's a freedom that comes as a result of submitting my life to God. Can I just stop here just for a moment? If you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Christ, let me just tell you something. You're not experiencing the true freedom of life, not only of being an American, but the true freedom of life that God has to offer you. Say yes to Jesus. Give your life to Christ. And I'm so glad to hear campers that gave their life to Christ this week. They're making a change in their lives. They're going to begin to experience the fullness and the freedom that only Christ can give. The Son sets you free. You will be free indeed. I'm going to ask the worship team if they would come, or Erica, and come. And we're going to close here. You go, Pastor, already? Yep. Yep. Isn't that cool? See, I'm surprising you once in a while. But I've got a one-hour illustration. Yeah, anyhow, no, we'll get there, okay? Several years ago, I was part of a group that we went on a backpacking trip to a place called the Enchantments. It's an 18-mile hike that it takes 7 miles to get to the first lakes, and you gain over 4,400 feet in elevation in that climb. There's one aspect or one part of this particular hike that's called Asgard Pass. You're carrying your backpack, and this is mine, and this is the one I carried. and it was a lot fuller than it is now. But I remember going up Asgard Pass with this. Asgard Pass, in less than a quarter of a mile, you go up 1,900 feet. Stay there. Less than a half a mile, you climb 1,900 feet. And I remember, and there are three thresholds in this particular hike. I remember almost with every step you're going up. You rock to rock to rock. The first threshold, you think, oh, dude, the top is right there. I can do this. And you get there and go, there's another one. You get to the second one, and you go, ha, yes, there's another one. Let me tell you, if you ever do it, and if you ever go up Asgard Pass, there's three of them. When you see the third one, that's the top. And I remember getting to the top, and I was absolutely exhausted. I was just like, are you kidding me? I think I'm going to die. And I remember this. I had my backpack on, and I had it on like this. I had it all the way. And I finally got it off to this shoulder, and I got it off to this one. And I put my backpack down, and I felt, follow me, I felt this incredible, say it with me, freedom. I felt like the whole burden of the world just went off my shoulders. It's like, I could almost breathe again because that was off my back. Now, the interesting thing I want to point out to you here this morning is this. You know, have you guys ever watched that movie Braveheart and William Wallace? I'm not going to do it. Well, here. Freedom! You know. Oh, Chris. I covered. Yeah. But that's how I felt. Anyhow, I want to get that in there. But I want you to follow something with me. With or without the backpack, listen, the sights were still breathtaking. If all goes well, I'm going to put together a team, and we're going to hike it next year. If you want to go with me, let me know. It is absolutely stunning. It is known as one of the most beautiful hikes in the Pacific Northwest. It's 18 miles. We'll do it in the process of about 3 days. And yes, we have to camp outside and all that kind of stuff. But anyhow, now follow me. With or without the backpack, the sights were absolutely breathtaking. But I want you to notice something. I enjoyed the sights with the backpack, but when I took the backpack off, there was incredible more freedom and joy of looking and going everywhere once I got up there. You see, here's the deal. Many people, I believe, who are followers of Christ are experiencing a beauty of life, but not the freedom. Because people are still carrying a lot of the backpack of fear, loneliness. They're critiquing this and they're critiquing that. They're complaining, they're whining, they're fighting, they're holding grudges, they're critical, they're judging. They're doing so much stuff that the true follower of Christ, if you would just take that backpack off, you can enjoy the beauty of what God has created, but you can also enjoy the freedom. Whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. There's a new freedom, there's a new breath, there's a new life. When you all of a sudden say, I'm going to stop whining, I'm going to stop complaining, I'm going to stop being angry, I'm going to stop holding grudges, I'm going to stop being fearful. I'm going to stop. I'm going to give that stuff to God. I'm going to take that backpack off so I can walk in new freedom. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the thing, as I looked at this all week, I began to think, God, how can I tie this all in? And I began to realize we put the backpack on, and all of a sudden the journey gets heavier again. We pick up the grudges. We pick up the offenses of someone else. We pick up the fears and the inhibitions. We pick up all of those, and there we go again. Oh, we go through our work week and resolve, oh, God, if I could just get through this week. God is saying, hey, I want you to enjoy the week. So take the backpack that you put and fill with so many things. Just drop that off. Just forget about it. See, the backpack may have, now here's my closing point. The backpack may have what you think you need. See, in my backpack, I had everything I need. I had my stove down here. I had my stove in my little Sterno cans that I had a little one burner stove. I had my food in here. I had my emergency blanket in here. I got my sleeping bag. Didn't bring my pillow, but you know, it's all good. You know, and I had everything I needed here. See, that's what you and I. Here's the deal. I'm gonna pull a trick on you. We think, oh, well, I want all that I need. Yeah, we do. We want all. Oh, yeah, this is all I need. I want to tell you something. Jesus is all we need. Jesus is all we need. Jesus is all we need. We think we need all of these things. But God says, no, I'm all you need. Can I throw in one last real quick illustration? I learned this week. This is so incredibly cool. This one, you can go to the bank on this one. This is a good one, okay? Are you ready? Are you ready? This is good. See, I told you I had a one-hour closing. This is so good. You see, we use so many things as a measuring stick for what we really need. We need food and this and that. Oh, we need something. We use things as a measuring stick. And here's the thing. I don't think we need to follow any measuring stick. If I'm doing well or doing poorly, we always measure according to what somebody else is doing or what someone else is wearing, what someone else is accomplishing, how someone else fixes their hair, how someone else, what kind of house they have. We use things as a measuring stick. And God said, I want you to use those as a measuring stick. I want you to use, now listen, not a measuring stick, but a scale. A scale? Follow me. This is going to get good. Some of you are going to get this, and some of you are going to go, but follow me. In the Old Testament, the word for glory in the Hebrew is this. Now follow me. Kabod. Say kabod. Hebrew word for glory in the Old Testament is the word kabod. If you look up kabod in the Old Testament or in the Hebrew dictionary, follow me, that means heaviness or weight. Have you ever heard the phrase the weight of his glory? The heaviness of his glory? You see, God does not want us, here it is, God does not want us to use a measuring stick to measure our success. He wants us to use a scale to see how heavy the presence of God is in our lives. Is God there or is he not there? If he's there, it will show on the scale. If he's not there, we'll be using a measuring stick to measure our success, to measure our accomplishments and who we are. But God is saying, no, I want to measure by how much you need me, how much you want me. When you say I need you more than I need this stuff, then all of a sudden the weightiness of his presence comes, and that's where a new freedom comes. Bow your heads with me here this morning. Bow your heads and let's pray. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let me say it this way. Blessed is the follower whose God is the Lord, because it is for freedom. Listen, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. In other words, the reason Jesus died is for the things that we put in our backpack. So all we need is him. Stop putting things in the backpack. Just need him. He'll take care of the rest. Father, this morning, many of us here continually put things in that backpack. We don't experience the freedom of a backpack-free life because we put stuff there. Many of us are using other things to measure our success and our value. You're just saying, no, I just want you to want me. You in my life. So that's my prayer this morning, God. That the weight that we put on a scale is not dependent upon how much we put in our backpack, but it's our dependence upon putting you in our backpack. Putting you in our lives. So God, across here this morning, I pray for a new sense of your freedom to come as we just say, God, I've got a huge concern, but you know what, God? I'm going to take it out of my backpack and I'm going to give it to you. God, I've got a hurt in my life that just keeps surfacing every day. I see that person and I just, God, I take that out of my backpack and I give it to you. God, there's some concerns I have, God. Just my finances, I just don't know what to do, God. I take that worry and fear and anxiety and take it out of my backpack, God, and right now I just give it to you. This person I'm living with right now, God, this mate, she is, God, I take that burden of that and that frustration and maybe the hurt, and I give that to you right now. Maybe it's a child, whatever it is, God, would you just say that right now? God, I give these things to you. Just across here this morning, God, I take my backpack that I've been building, and I take it off, and I put on Christ. The Bible says, take off and put on Christ. God, I put you on today. I know, God, as we put you on, then all of a sudden that blessed is the follower of Christ who puts on Christ. Let us put you on today. Jesus, we pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to pray one more quick prayer. And if you're here this morning, you say, you know, Pastor, I've got some stuff in my backpack that's putting a lot of weight on my shoulders and dragging me down. Would you please pray for me right now? Would you do that? Would you just raise your hand. Just signifying to the Lord, just say, God, yep, here it is. Yep, there's several. Many. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, there's a guy. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Jesus. Right now, God. The verse that has been so real to me, God, has been, you are the joy, the lifter of my head. God, would you take those things here this morning? Would you be the joy and the lifter of their heads? You be the lifter of their heads. They begin to see things in a brand new way. And when they do, God, I believe there's going to come a new freedom. Just like the freedom I experienced when I put off that big pack backpack on top of that mountain. Oh, felt so good. God, I think when we put those things off and we give them to you, it feels so good. Let that happen this morning. Be the joy and the lifter of each head, I pray. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Inspire Church. For more audio and video content, check out icskagitvalley.org.